following is the president's speech at Rochester, Minnesota, Thursday, October 14, 1948.
An honor and a privilege to welcome the President of the United States, the Honorable Harry S. Truman, and the distinguished members of the President's party, including my good friend, Mayor Humphrey. I know we all regret that the president's stay in our city must necessarily be so brief. And I know we all hope that he will favor us with a longer visit sometime in the near future. I want you to know, and I'm sure you agree with me, that the wishes, the well wishes of the people of our community go with the president on his journey. At this time, I would like to introduce the chairman of the Olmsted County Democratic Party, Mr. Matt Mulvihill. Mr. Mulvihill. He will be back here shortly. So in the meantime, I want to introduce to you Carl Rovag. Mr. Rovag.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to present to you the mayor of Minneapolis, the Honorable Hubert Humphrey, the next United States Senator from Minnesota.
How do you do?
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the present President of the United States and the next President of the United States.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate the warm welcome which the mayor of this great city has extended to the presidential party. And I appreciate the introduction of your candidate for Congress, who I know will be the next congressman from this district. You're going to elect Carl F. Rovag, and he told me that I was going to get a good reception here. And he didn't make it half as strong as it is. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This reception means that Carl F. Rovag is going to be in the House of Representatives the next time. And of course it means that you're going to send Hubert Humphrey to the Senate. If you send men like that to the Senate and the House, they won't have any trouble getting along with the president because they believe in the same things that I do. Thousands upon thousands of Americans, distinguished Americans and plain citizens, have come to this great city to recover their health. I'm on a crusade across the country to see that we don't have to send the federal government itself to Rochester to get put back together after 4 years of Republican rule in Washington. I'm here to tell you, if we have 4 years of Republican rule, it'll take all the clinics in the country to put it back together again. I wish the whole nation could have the opportunity to enjoy the kind of medical care that is available here in Rochester, Minnesota. Unfortunately, we haven't reached that point yet. But I've been trying ever since I became president to use the powers of the federal government to improve the health of the American people. In fact, I started on a program of that sort while I was in the Senate, and I've been working at it ever since. Last January, I asked Mr. Oscar Ewing, who is the Federal Security Administrator, to make a careful study of the present level of our national health. I also asked him to report to me on what we might hope to accomplish in the next 10 years for the health of the nation. Mr. Ewing has just finished his study and has submitted a long report entitled The Nation's Health and a 10-Year Plan. That report, I have a summary of it right here, is an impressive document. It tells about the progress we've been making, but at the same time, it reveals some shocking facts. Every year, now listen to this, every year more than 325,000 Americans die who could have been saved if they had had the right kind of medical attention and care that we know how to provide. Only 20%, one-fifth of our population is able to afford the medical care they need. Now that means that there are 110 million people in this country who can't afford proper medical attention. That's a disgrace to the richest country in the world. The United States loses $27 billion a year in national wealth through sickness or disability alone. These facts should make every one of us resolve to do all he can to improve our medical facilities. I think these facts point to the need for the national health program that I've been urging the Congress to adopt. I'd like to remind you of the main points of that program. I want you to listen carefully to this because every one of you is interested in some way or other by this program. First, we ought to have adequate public health services, including an expanded maternal and child health program. Second, we need more medical research and more medical schools. Third, we need more hospitals and more doctors in nearly every area in the country. Fourth, we should have a system of insurance to cover the costs of medical care. Fifth, we need insurance which will protect workers against loss of earnings during illness. Of course, I know that federal laws to help meet these five objectives aren't enough. State and local governments, medical schools and hospitals, doctors and civic groups will all have to work together to accomplish the purpose I have in mind. I know that this country can provide better health care for the American people. And I want to see that every man, woman, and child, on a day not too far off, will be able to get the kind of care you provide here in Rochester to the people who can afford it. Better health will mean greater prosperity and a stronger nation. It's our responsibility to lead the world to a lasting peace. We need all our health and all our strength to reach that goal. And I want you to help me reach that goal by sending the men to Congress who believe in the welfare of the people as a whole and who are not just interested in some special interest program. This 80th Congress is a shining example of how the Republicans work. That Congress legislated absolutely for the special interests. And the people, well, I can't say the word I'd like to say, what they did to the people. Don't do that again. If you send an 80th Congress back with that same old gang in control, you'll have an 81st Congress with exactly the same program that this 80th Congress had. Now, do your duty on election day. Get out and show your interest in the government. And you are the government when you exercise the right to vote. And if enough of you vote, I'm just as certain as I stand here that we'll have a Democratic president in the White House and we'll have a Democratic Congress in the 81st Congress. How would you like to meet my family? Well, here's Mrs. Truman. She runs the White House and me. Here's Margaret.